Welcome to the CWA Radio Network, brought to you 7 days a week by Christian Women Affiliate. You're listening to A Musing, hosted by me, Heather Randall. What if every thought is deeper than a daydream? What if it's a seedling from our Heavenly Father, our one true muse, pointing us to something we need to know? Let's embrace the freedom to wonder, take the invitation to explore, and learn everything He has to teach us in this amazing journey of life. For the next 30 minutes, we invite you to join us live via the chat room. Click to talk to the host or call in 347-850-8893. After the show, we invite you to join us at Christian Women Affiliate. Let's get this show started.
Hello and happy Friday. Do you want success without having any struggle to get there? Are you looking for the fast-forward button to speed up the testing season you're in? Does the word trials make you squirm? Today we're talking about our secret desire for shortcuts and the damage that they can do. We'll also address the importance of learning through trials and recognize the value of scars. Today's episode is only going to be 15 minutes because I am battling a migraine. Before 3:30, I was laying in the tub with a blanket over me and my clothes with the light off and the curtains drawn because it was the darkest place in my house. So I'm having a very rough day. So we're gonna cover this topic today because I believe that it's what God wants me to do. But it's going to be a little brief. Let's go ahead and pray. Abba Father, Your word tells us that in our weakness, You're strong. So, Father, I just ask that You'll be strong in this message today, that You'll be speaking to hearts in the way that You want to, that Your word will come across with power and might, and that You would change what You need to change within us, that our desire to speed up the process and avoid any tests or trials would be corrected, and that our attitude would be to learn all that we can from You. In Your name we pray. Amen. Over on my Facebook page this week, I asked the following question. If you could choose between A, a mediocre life with no obstacles and a clear path to what you want, nothing would ever be in your way and no one would ever say no to you, or B, a lifelong series of potentially difficult obstacles developed to teach you life lessons that would make you stronger. True, you'd sometimes feel overwhelmed or exhausted, but your success would be earned through experience and a bit of blood, sweat, and tears. Which would you choose? The responses were exactly what I had expected. Is there an option C? None of the above? Why? Because A and B don't sound too fun. No one wants a mediocre life, even if it comes with all the flashy perks of stuff. We all know at a heart level that easily attained blessings often lead to apathy and entitlement. These are not ideal emotions. God has so much better for us. When we exist in an environment that meets our every desire with instant gratification, we might actually be surrounded by the dream, yet living mediocre, as we're unable to appreciate all that we have. See, anything less than God's best for us can be classified as mediocre, and I don't want that. Option B is much too difficult, and for that, it's not most people's first choice. That delayed gratification grinds on us. Because like Veruca Salt and Willy Wonka, we have a give-it-to-me-now mentality. Yes, God wants to give us good things. He wants to provide and bless us abundantly. But more than that, He wants us to learn. More often than not, that learning comes through struggle. You know, when an egg is hatching, that little chick is putting all of its energy into getting free. It's a long, uncomfortable, and sometimes painful process. Some well-meaning observers, they might want to step in and help the poor little bird to get free by poking the shell or breaking it just a tiny bit more and helping the bird by making the challenge easier. Of course, their intentions are merciful, but often the result is the death of the bird, either immediately or due to long-term survival deficiencies, because the bird missed the opportunity to develop important muscles in the hatching process. This is the entire concept behind my fiction novel, When Chicks Hatch. I just released it last week on an e-book format, and it's available now on Amazon. But my message is not about that, so check that out if you're interested. But hear what I'm saying. See, God, the whole point is God has a plan. It's for our good, and if we get ahead of it, we can make a mess of things very quickly. This is the very core of my ministry, speaking and writing. This is my mission, to get that point across to people that, you know, things are tough sometimes, but they're tough for a reason. God's maturing us. He's bringing us to a point that he wants us to be at. Let's look at some biblical examples. God revealed dreams to Joseph in order to prepare him. But Joseph wanted them realized right now. He shared the dream out of season. Maybe he thought that his brothers would just get on their knees right then, and everything would be just perfect, and everything would be his. I don't know. In any case, Joseph attempted to hit fast forward. God never intended a fast route for Joseph, though. If anything, Joseph's response to God's wisdom that was imparted through dreams proved that he needed some lessons before God could allow him to realize them. Joseph wasn't ready. And what better way to get him ready than to allow some challenges? These testing times refine us. If God was going to use Joseph as he always intended to do, then some refining needed to happen. The testing season wasn't fun for Joseph, but look what it did for his character. You know, God is no respecter of persons. If God is leading you through a maze of trials, watch your character. As it improves and lessons are learned, you'll get closer to living out the dream. Another example is Job. In the beginning, we see that Job seems to have everything. It certainly looks that way. He's a rich man. He has it all. His faith is grounded. He's so smooth that even the devil thinks he's worth testing. But in reality, there's enough information in the text that we can safely say that Job, though his faith was strong and he seemed to have everything, was living mediocre. Oh, you don't believe that? Well, look at what Job is doing in verse 4. Of chapter 1. It reads, "His sons used to hold feasts in their homes on their birthdays, and they would invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, 'Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' This was Job's regular custom." Well, of course, we know that Job honored holiness. That was to his credit. However, there was an aspect of Job that prepared for the worst. Now, is that a seed of fear? I don't know. But if so, why wouldn't Satan attack him that way? Well, I found that Satan rarely strikes where I'm looking. He tends to thrive on shock value. All of Job's energy was spent in preventing that attack, protecting the spiritual state of his family, atoning for any potential sins that they may have committed. He was ready for that attack. He expected it. But Satan wanted to get him where it hurt, where he wasn't looking. He likes to up the stakes. If you live worried that your kids will mess up, is everything perfect in your world? I'd say not really. It may look it. Your faith may be like glue through it. But those doubts and the ones that you love have an impact on who you are. There was something Job saw that made him feel this way. I suspect his marriage wasn't all roses either. Look how quickly his wife told him to curse God and die. Prior to the test, Job's life looked perfect. He seemed to have an option A environment of no obstacles and a clear path to what he wanted. Nothing was ever in his way and no one would ever say no to him. But I propose that it was also mediocre and that God could and did bless him with better when he was victorious and went through the testing period. Let's talk about Judas. I don't think there could be a better example of the problem of trying to hit the fast-forward button than Judas. He actually thought Jesus was dragging his heels. He wanted to speed things along, bring about the kingdom a little sooner. Why delay? He took it upon himself to forge the way by putting Jesus in a position to demonstrate his authority and put everyone in their place. He wanted a warrior king, not a gentle lamb. He stole silver and hung on a tree with his regret. You can't force God. You can't rush the process. Here's the clue. There is no option C. We either have it all and live mediocre, or we embrace a difficult learning season to prepare us for some crazy big blessings ahead. Yeah, option B is messy. It hurts to push through. It's hard to persevere. It's uncomfortable, but it's perfecting us. If you feel a little ashamed for seeking out an option C, don't be. It's natural to want to avoid pain. We wouldn't be sane if we didn't at least look for an option C. Even Jesus did. Heavy-hearted and sweating blood in the garden, Jesus was praying for an option C. If you can pass this cup from me. If we can do this another way, God, if we could just hit fast forward. But Jesus didn't stay there long. He didn't camp out and make an expedition to find the option C. He surrendered. Your will be done. I'll take the pain. I'll embrace the scar if it will bring about that world-changing impact that I'm striving for. I'll do the hard thing. Friends, there is no option C. This isn't easy. Life's going to hurt sometimes, but it will be so worth it. Keep pushing. Great things happen. Chicks hatch. Psalm 27 says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Let your scars talk. Don't fear them. They show the world where you've been and that God gave you life on the other side of it." Let me leave you with James 1, verse 2 through 4, which says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing."
Thank you for letting me share my ideas with you for the last 30 minutes. You've been so kind. See you next week.